Hello and welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast. I'm Ian Welsh. Joining me today is Joe Griffiths, Global Food Community Director with BSI. Welcome to the podcast, Joe.
Hi.
Why don't you give us an outline of what BSI is trying to achieve, particularly in packaging, which I know is a focus area for you.
Well, packaging's for a long time been seen as wasteful and also been a recent upsurge in a dislike of plastics in particular. And what's not necessarily understood is that packaging's got a real strong role in supply chain, not just for food, but for all products. There's virtually no product you can buy that hasn't been transported in some type of packaging, whether that be primary or consumer packaging, secondary or bulk packaging, or tertiary transport packaging like pallets and so on. And it's the interaction of these different types of packaging is that what gets our conflicts to our kitchen cupboards. And supply chains are increasingly complex. Our fruit and vegetables are as likely to be imported as they are to be locally produced. So the packaging needs to be effective as possible to minimise waste, not just of the food itself, but all the resources that have gone into producing it. So if we can use our understanding of the role of packaging and our knowledge of how to reuse resources as effectively as possible, then perhaps we can make packaging more sustainable and our supply chains more sustainable.
How do you define sustainable packaging?
Well, it's difficult to define, I think. I don't think there's necessarily an agreed definition of sustainable that works for every industry. But for me, and in the discussions I've had with people, and in the workshop we ran in October, it was acknowledging and working within the circular economy. So the circular economy is a phrase that's perhaps gaining greater recognition that we must move towards that type of approach. But there's little mechanism to enable people. There's no clear how. But there's actually already a standard developed by BSI, and circularity is something we can define. So that's defined within that standard as an economy that's restorative and regenerative by design, and which aims to keep products, components, and materials at their highest utility and value at all times. So this recognises that we should reframe waste as a resource and understand how we can use it. But bigger than that, we should design things in a way that supports their future use rather than disposal. And that goes for plastic packaging as much as it does for building materials and for products. So we may see a simplification in materials used in packaging to prevent contamination when it's reprocessed. If you only have three plastics in use and you've removed those that are difficult to recycle, then reprocessing them becomes much more simple and justifies investment in facilities and infrastructure to do that reprocessing or facilitate the reuse of the material. And that's exactly what the plastics pact from the Waste and Resources Action Programme, RAP, is targeting. Then there's the old stalwart, ISO 14001, and that's the Environmental Management System standard. And that's now, I think, in its third or fourth iteration. And that standard enables organisations to assess their environmental impacts. So I believe it's between these two, between ISO 14001, an auditable standard that engenders a systems approach to managing environmental impacts as the baseline, and the use of BS 8001, a circular economy, a guideline for companies to achieve circular economy, as the mechanism for organisational shift. It's between those two that sustainability of our packaging and indeed products lies.
What are the difficulties then in establishing standards that work cross-sector?
The scale and really where to start, scope is really important. We must be careful to define what needs to be done, what can be done in order to support circularity. And I think the most recent workshop started to help us determine the first steps. And some of that is around defining what words mean within the sustainability debate. Words like sustainables, let's understand what that really means across different sectors for different actors in that sector. And also words like compostable and biodegradable, then we can start to assess the role of each of them through further work. And education, of course, is key.
So then you're developing standards specifically for sustainable packaging. Are there specific challenges you've found in developing those standards?
We're really at very early stages on that. We're starting to have the discussions with people to see what their key challenges are and what's inhibiting them from taking steps towards what might be considered as more sustainable. So as I was saying, that even just defining what sustainable means for packaging, what sustainable means within global supply chains, what roles different types of materials have in that supply chain, it's hugely complex. Our global supply chains are hugely complex. We import so much product from different parts of the world, and no matter where you are in the world, you know, in the UK we import so much food, in North America again there's a lot of importing, and a lot of our products come from areas that we don't perhaps think about that the products come from. So if we can sort of start to understand the complex challenges, and only by having discussions with different types of stakeholders like retailers and academia and government, to see what each of the unique set of challenges are for each of those parties, then we can start to bring people together, have the discussions and say, right, okay, we are here, where do we want to get to and how do we get there?
The debate around packaging has become focused on plastics in particular. And that's why we're having this conversation, if you like, because so many people now are concerned and debating the use of plastic in packaging. So to what extent do you think that the debate around plastic has become too polarised? Is there a need for re-education about why and when plastic is essential? I mean, there are instances where it is essential, right?
You're right, it is hugely polarised. It feels very weighted towards being anti-plastics, but there are some seeds of thinking about how plastic supports the circular economy and to reduce food waste. And of course, that's why packaging exists, to protect products in transit, and food is so important. The role of packaging is to protect food so it's edible when we receive it, to preserve it so it's undamaged, to contain the quantity we want, and to inform the consumers, us as consumers, so we know what's inside the package. And marketing has really turned packaging into the art form, into the silent salesman. We should be focusing on food waste as well. In the UK, we waste 30% of all the food produced. And if we could remove that waste, then that's 30% less land and water required to grow food and ingredients. That's 30% less transport and logistics required. And of course, we're aware of the impact of logistics on the environment through greenhouse gas emissions. And of course, it represents a reduction in household food budgets. And in some parts of the world, that waste level of food is up to 40 or 50%. And that level of wastage is completely unacceptable when you consider that some people are forced to go to bed hungry, even within developed nations. But we focus on plastics, I believe, because it's so very tangible. We are all consumers and we're global citizens and we see and feel and deal with this stuff on a daily basis. And we're forced to accept how much we consume and how much waste we produce. So no wonder we have a problem with it. And now we have awareness of just how much waste ends up in our environment and it feels inescapable. And I think it's no surprise that culturally there are trends around minimalism, the discarding of excess belongings in order to appreciate what we keep. We want to keep our world. We want to appreciate the world we're in. And perhaps we're sort of thinking more about discarding what we feel as excess in order to maintain our world in the way that we want to appreciate it.
How can standards then help the food sector avoid moving from a plastics problem to an even worse food waste problem?
Again, it's increasingly complex, as there is a real danger that companies move away from plastics to other materials without thinking longer term and understanding the impacts that those changes will have. A knee-jerk reaction. There are products now that used to be in plastic bottles, in PET, polyethylene terephthalate. It's an incredibly recyclable material with lots of resources, with lots of infrastructure to manage that material. And there's a PP cap, also polypropylene, also incredibly recyclable. And those products are now in paper containers, or what look like paper containers, which we think are good because it's recyclable, right? Paper's recyclable. But that paper is laminated, it's coated in plastic, and laminated materials are so much more difficult to recycle. And ultimately, plastics is a victim of its own success. It's so good at what it does, and we can't move away from it. It's too embedded now in how we operate as global economies. When it first arrived, it was marketed as a disposable material, but our ability to forget to assess the longer-term impact of those actions of disposal has caught up with us. And we know there's a lack of infrastructure for reprocessing recycling. We're aware of that even in developed economies like the UK and Europe. We know that the recycling system is creaking under the weight of the volume of stuff that's going into it, and there's perhaps a lack of focus, or a historical lack of focus, on building infrastructure. Transparency from social media and, of course, conventional media allows us for the first time to be confronted by scenes of developing countries who have this stuff seemingly dumped on them as well, who simply don't have any infrastructure at all to manage that material and the volume that's produced. So I strongly believe that we don't need to change materials. We need to think more of the materials we do use to realise their value. And I think that's something that things like the deposit return system that Scotland are proposing, something that does, it starts to attach a monetary value to that empty plastic bottle. And that's a subtle message, and which starts to mean that we see plastic as a useful material, and it's so useful that industry wants it back so they can do something else amazing with it. So if we in standards can start to take those theories and embed them into a global norm, then that means that people can adhere to a commonality, which means we're all moving in the same direction.
So you're developing a standard or standards that recognises that the food sector needs to avoid increasing environmental impact from a switch away from plastic to alternatives.
Absolutely. And it's not necessarily about auditing someone to say, yes, that is or is not sustainable. I mentioned BS 8001 earlier. That's a standard that BSI has developed that talks around the circular economy. But it's not auditable. It's actually a guideline. So this standard or suite of standards really starts to give people tools and mechanisms by which to make cultural changes in their organisation about how they design products and how a different way of thinking can help people understand that packaging's got that role in the supply chain to prevent waste. You know, it's part of the solution, not part of the problem.
What's the time frame for developing these standards?
That's a tough one. it's a big job. I think there's a lot to do. There's a lot of talking to be done. There's a lot of discussions and a lot of engagement to be done with brand owners and retailers and supply chain actors. You know, logistics and supply chain is fundamental to engage, because virtually all of our products are transported in some way. So we need to engage every single aspect of the supply chain. That takes time. We've got very good relationships as a standards builder with lots of different aspects of supply chains. It's our job to make sure that the discussions are held. It's difficult to put timeframe on it, but certainly we acknowledge timeframes within things like the UN SDGs and also the Plastics Pact that's been developed by RAP. Because what we want to do is enable the whole supply chain, not just brand owners and retailers, but the whole supply chain to move towards a solution, to move towards a point where they can say, yes, we embed those concepts within how we operate as a business.
Thinking more broadly then, what's driving this process for BSI and how does it fit into your other programmes?
Well, we actually have a mandate. We were incorporated by Royal Charter in 1901, so we're nearly 120 years old. Our purpose at that point was to drive solutions to practical problems. This is our job. Our mandate tells us that we coordinate the efforts of experts to determine what goods looks like, to build consensus and agreement that we all move forward in the same way. And we can produce tangible practical outcomes, the how of circularity, the tools to help businesses legitimize their practices. And our food and retail sector is about having those conversations around the world, the right people talking about the right things to create those practical solutions that work globally. Any issue we face within the sector is a global issue because our supply chains are, so the solutions need to be the same. We're also working on other topics such as alternative proteins, those things like cultured proteins, insect proteins, plant-based, the authenticity of food, food safety culture, and modern slavery or forced labour within the community. And anyone who's interested in contributing to the discussion should connect with me.
And how can you do that, Jo? I guess you're on Twitter and all the usual social media.
Best way is through LinkedIn. Search my name, Joanna Griffiths, at BSI.
It's a lot of exciting work going on with you guys at BSI. But for now, Jo Griffiths, Global Foods Community Director with the BSI. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.